shores of El Pacifico.
It is, yeah.
Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show on Phil TV in HD right now. If you're watching, you probably wonder, what is that, Phil? That is a recording from earlier tonight. That is a recording of a from NASA of the Russian craft Progress docking with the sky with the space station, International Space Station. There's a couple of cuts that we've been showing here periodically. So that's a little bit of what our Phil TV and HD people watch. Sometimes Phil will record something off the net and show them a little bit of this and a little bit of that. We did show it live earlier tonight. Well, before the show started, we had it on live. And we had a very bizarre commentary coming from Jane Wayne Font. Remember that guy?
Yeah, that guy. Whatever that guy's problem was, somebody should not have named him Jane.
Well, he was the NASA commentator there on NASA TV. And he was talking with Jay McDaniels or something, and the two of these nuts, they were talking about the International Space Station and the Russian craft docking, but more to the point, they were trying to figure out where the egg salad sandwiches came from, and oh yeah, could Jane Way Font get one? A man named Jane.
What about a boy named Sue? So that's the whole point of that song.
Yeah, that's great, Robert.
But whatever, man. What difference that make? But on that song, a guy said, you know, he wanted to name his son.
Well, you forget about whether he named his son. That's a song by Johnny Cash. And he does say at the end, I wouldn't name my son Sue, so it's a stupid idea. Thank you. So this guy, Jane, who's doing the NASA TV coverage, wondering, hey, by the way, as long as we're waiting for the space station and the Russian craft to dock, where'd you get the egg salad sandwich? A little weird. This is a story that is very sad. We were talking about it during the break, and I feel compelled to bring it up. Maybe it's because it's in my own neighborhood. Maybe it's because I've been a longtime football fan and also a big, big supporter of high school football in our area. I currently live in the Ventura, Los Angeles area. We live, you know, near the Ventura County line. And high school football is like it is all over the country. It's huge out there. We've had a lot of great teams. Our kids went to Oaks Christian, and they two of the guys, Nick and Alex, played varsity football for Oaks Christian, which is a huge, hugely successful program. Thousand Oaks, Westlake, Hart, which is the home of Kyle Bowler, and there's been a lot of players, and Notre Dame and Crespi. So we've got, you know, a lot of good high school football schools out here, and one of them is Thousand Oaks. And one of their players, a promising young man, was Griffin Kramer. Griffin Kramer was found dead at a friend's house from a heroin overdose in October of 2011 after he'd been out allegedly snorting heroin. And this young man, Griffin Kramer, you may recognize the family name. His father was Eric Kramer, who played with the Chicago Bears, played with the Atlanta Falcons, played with the San Diego Chargers, played with the Detroit Lions. Eric Kramer finished with a very credible and decent career, 3,000 yards a season. That was his son. Eric Kramer grew up in Encino, California. He went to school at L.A. Pierce, and then he transferred to North Carolina State. He was undrafted, but he did eventually work his way into a... It's pretty sad, you know.
The kid was how old?
The kid was 18. He was a senior. And I got to tell you, it's horrible. It's a horrible thing. And, you know, I don't want to come off like daddy here. I would never presume to lecture people. I you're going to do what you're going to do, and I'm not going to judge. What I will say is, just, you know, when you're talking about someone's life, you can't mess around. Even if you got to risk getting arrested, you know, even if it means you're going to get popped, you can't do that. You know, if you've got a friend and the friend is not doing well, this kid, Griffin Kramer, this boy was incoherent. He was out, man.
They took him back to the house.
They took him back to the house and just laid him in bed, thinking, well, he'll sleep it off. This is as soon as he snorted this stuff, whatever it was, he was like gone, man. It was like that scene in Pulp Fiction, you know.
When that chick, you know, they had to give her a drone shot.
Yeah, so in any event, what I'm saying is, you don't drive him around and wonder what to do and then take him to a friend's house and put him in bed. You got to get him to a hospital. I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying bad, bad, bad. I ain't saying that. I'm not saying don't. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to. That your mother and your father should do that. You should do that. I'm just not going to set myself. But I will tell you this. Whatever you do in life, whatever your choices you make in life, they're all yours, but you do not have the right to let a friend of yours die because suddenly you want to save your own ass. That ain't the way the game is played. You got to, you know, if you want to get in and you want to play the game, you got to play it all the way to the end of the road, man. All the way to the end of the line. And that means somebody is overdosing in your car or in your house. You got to get them to the hospital. And if that means you're going to go to jail, well, that's just too bad because this kid died because people panicked and they were covering their own asses. Yeah, I mean, I
kind of started the hour on a bummer, didn't you?
Well, maybe I just felt like starting the hour on a bummer. How about that, bud? I mean, that just, it affected me, okay? Started the hour on a bummer.
I just say it.
I'd have smack your ass. I mean, it's a drag, you know, and there's a family without a son now. Yeah, I know he made a mistake. Yeah, I know people make mistakes. Yeah, I know they're kids. I get it. Am I going to blame a guy for being a kid? No. Are kids dumb sometimes? Yeah. Are adults dumb sometimes? Yeah. You know, unfortunately, when adults are dumb, you can always say to the adult, well, hey, you know, you survived this long, you're an adult, so you're responsible for yourself. And when a kid goes down, it sucks because you realize that these are mistakes that they should have been perhaps protected from. But the biggest one that was made here, and you can talk all you want about whether what they did was right or was wrong. Was it wrong? Yeah, it was wrong. But I ain't going to sit here and go into a whole thing about drugs. That's not what this is about. This is about these friends who decided after the guy had OD'd that they were going to drive around with him because they were scared that they'd get their ass popped, and so they don't want that to happen, so their friend dies. And maybe they didn't look at it that way, but they're driving around in a panic, and then they finally take him back to a house and lay him in a bed. He was dead the next morning. He could have been in a hospital. You know, that's the screw up there, in my opinion, but that's just my opinion. So, you know, some people may say, oh, I see, Mr. Henry, so you're saying it's okay to do drugs so long as you, if your friend ODs, you take him to a hospital. No, I didn't say that. I said the second half. I said, if your friend ODs, take him to a hospital. Well, what about the drug part? I said, I'm not going to comment on that.
Who are you talking to?
What do you mean, who am I talking? It's an example of something, okay?
Sound like you're talking to a guy.
I am. I'm talking to an imaginary guy. You guys talk to imaginary people. Well, I'm talking to an imaginary people.
Is that your imaginary friend?
Yes, it's my imaginary friend.
What's his name?
Well, his name... Will you shut up? Pakistan, here's something that this is what I really wanted to talk about, and I got a little bit sidetracked. And this one really bugs me. I mean, it bugs me for different reasons. When the CIA and the SEALs and the whole kit and caboodle, the American, the U.S. intelligence apparatus, decided to jump in and end the illustrious career of Osama bin Laden. They had a lot of help on the ground, as we like to say, the boots on the ground thing. They had a lot of help in country. Now, the Pakistanis, or whatever they are, we don't know, and we frankly don't want to know. I mean, they're a mess. They're just a mess. How loyal they are, how much of a friend they are, I don't know. But we do know one thing. Forget about the Pakistani government. Individual Pakistanis were very friendly to us and risked their lives so that these SEALs could go in and take this piece of garbage down and get all of that intel, as they call it, back to the United States. And one of the Pakistani nationals that risked his life was a man by the name of, he's a doctor. His name was Shakil Afridi. Dr. Afridi, under the aegis of the CIA, started a vaccination program in the area around Osama bin Laden's compound. Yes, to vaccinate the people, but also he was collecting DNA to verify bin Laden's presence in the compound.
But what, you saying he's going to come and get a measles shot?
No, bin Laden's not going to come and get a measles shot, man. But there were a lot of kids in that compound, and they wanted to see if any of the DNA in that compound matched the DNA they had on record of Osama bin Laden, and it did. So,
yeah, so one of the kids had a shot.
Somehow they were able, through this vaccination program. But the point is this. This is a doctor, a Pakistani national, who was assisting the United States in locating Osama bin Laden so he could be killed. Now, this man is currently under arrest in Pakistan for treason. And we can argue the merit of that, but it's pointless. The Pakistanis are going to do whatever the hell it is they want to do with him, and there is nothing we got to say about it. But the thing that I wished would have happened, and maybe it's not reasonable, because God knows how many people in Pakistan helped us, or helped our government, or helped the CIA in locating bin Laden, but you wish they would have taken this guy with them, you know?
Well, yeah, they could have put him on a helicopter or something.
Well, why didn't they? I'm thinking they didn't because they probably would have had to take a lot of guys, you know. But this man has been mentioned. He has been revealed by Leon Panetta. Panetta acknowledged publicly for the first time on Friday, that a Pakistani doctor provided key information to the United States in advance of the successful Navy SEAL assault on bin Laden's compound last May. Panetta told CBS's 60 Minutes in a profile to be broadcast on Sunday that Shakil Afridi helped provide intelligence for the raid on bin Laden's compound. Afridi ran a vaccination program for the CIA to collect DNA. Panetta also told 60 Minutes that he remains convinced that someone in the Pakistani government must have had some sense that a person of interest was in the compound. But anyway, Dr. Afridi has been charged by Pakistan with treason. And Panetta says he's very concerned for the doctor. And I guess you do these things, you know, you run the risk. You do at your own risk, or however they say it. But, this is a guy that hung his ass out to dry there for the U.S. Now, maybe he got money. I don't know. But whether or not he was paid, he still did a job. He completed the job. He was successful in doing the job. He did it at risk to life and limb. And in so doing it, we were able to nail the number one most wanted man in the world who'd been on, you know, who had been escaped for 10 years, or who had escaped for over, you know, almost 10 years. And who knows what's going to happen to this guy?
Think they're probably going to kill him?
I don't know. He won't get out of prison. I don't think this Afridi guy, unless the U.S. wants to do a swap, you know, some kind of, you know how they work these deals where they get a guy out? He'd probably never see the light of day. But who knows? All right, Phil Henry's show here, 877-876-PHIL, and this is our News and Information Hour, as we do it each and every night. And coming up tonight, we will be live and local, but we are still here on Phil TV and HD at 7 o'clock. That's 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Coming up, Newt Gingrich's whole idea on the moon base, man, and the GOP insider's approach to, quote, cutting Newt Gingrich down. And anything else that we find that's even more interesting than that, coming up on The Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, the world famous Phil Henry Show. We had a little bit of economic news I actually wanted to get into here, and first of all, Facebook is going to go public. They're readying an IPO, initial public offering profile, and I think just to give an example, I was talking to a friend of mine, and we were talking about money that we got in whatever, man, you know, because I've got a retirement, you know.
What's that all about?
You put money into your retirement fund, some of it's in stocks, and a lot of the stuff that I've got my money in is what they call a blue chip, and believe it or not, one of the blue chips is, I didn't think it would still be a blue chip after all these years, was IBM. IBM still trades at a really healthy price. So, when I think about good buys, good stock buys, here comes Facebook. Okay.
Now, I think that'd be worth a lot of money.
Sure, it seems like it would be worth a lot of money. Well, what are you buying when you buy Facebook? You're buying what?
What do you mean, what are you buying?
What are you buying when you buy Facebook? Are you buying, if you buy stock in Facebook, what are you buying? You're buying what? You're buying stock in what kind of a company?
Well, you're buying, like, social media.
Yeah. Okay, well, what does that mean, social? In other words, what is the, you know, the company is a social media company. That means people just talk to each other and make really cool pictures and pick each other up in the chat room. And that's what you're investing in, some sort of large vehicle for people to meet and to interact and to socialize, correct?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good buy at all, because...
why not? Everybody's goes on Facebook.
Yeah, I know, but the entire nature of the so-called social media is one that people are right now, as we speak, people are working and sweating and, you know, working well into the wee hours of the dawn to find new and better ways to do it, man. Facebook is just the first one out of the gate. The first one out of the gate. Now, you know, I mean...
Yeah, but what about Ford? That was the first one.
That's not true. Ford was not the first one. Ford was not the very first assembly line, if you want to be completely honest about it. The first assembly line in the United States was developed by Olds, the Oldsmobile. But it was Ford that perfected the operation. And this is what I think of when I think of people jumping all over something because they think it's a marvelous idea. I wonder, has the idea been explored or looked at in an intelligent way? And, you know, when we're talking about Facebook, who the hell knows? I mean, we had MySpace and Facebook.
Yeah, we know it better than MySpace.
You know it's better than MySpace. Coming along next year, the year after that, might be something else that kicks the crap out of Facebook. Or the whole idea of social interaction will leave this massive platform and it'll become much more personal. It might turn into a much smaller networks, which I, you know, that's what Google is trying to do with Google Plus, which I can't figure that out for love or money. There's people who dig Google Plus. I ain't one of them, and I don't know a whole lot of people that do.
Johnny Bean thinks it's bitching.
Okay, so Johnny Bean thinks it's bitching. So what?
Yeah, well, he's pretty smart.
Okay, he's smarter than me, man. I don't figure it out. I look at Google Plus. I don't know what it is. It scares me. Circles, and then it's like half Twitter and half Facebook. It's weird, man. But I know that that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it more of a smaller network thing. You know, so I just. I mean, you need to make these predictions. People want to know, well, who's going to be a good buy? I wouldn't run off and buy bunches of Facebook stock because, first of all, I don't think it can get any more popular. It can't get any. I mean, yeah, they're trying to raise money through a public offering because they've made about as much money as they're going to make with however they've been driving revenue, the advertising model that they've been using. And now they want to, you know, get out there into the world of stocks, offering stocks, and make the big time change there. And what? How much bigger is that company going to get? And what else are they going to do? What else are they going to offer? What does Facebook offer that's vital?
What do you mean vital? You mean like what people really got to have?
Yes. What does Facebook offer that is so vital that people can't get it somewhere else?
Well, I mean... not that people gotta have it, but they do want to have. They want to rub it, or not rub it.
What do you mean rub it? What's that mean, rub it?
They want to rub up against it, kind of.
Boy, Bud, I'd have no better than to ask you. You know.
What do you mean rub up against it? I'm trying to make sense. They want to know it's there, so they can just rub it.
Will you get out of here with rub it? What do you mean by that, man? That's you're acting too weird.
It's just my way of saying they want to have it close by.
God, rub it. Well, you ain't telling me anything that's that's knocking me out. You're not telling me anything about Facebook that makes me want to run out and buy stocks. What the hell is that company going to offer, or what are they offering now that I can't potentially get someplace else better, or that I cannot at least, you know, I can look at that and say, well, you know, I'm going to go out and make something better than this, man. I'm going to make it smaller. I'm going to make it much more, far more contact with people in my own area. These networks, the idea of networks, I'm going to make this far more user-friendly. I'm going to, you know, Facebook has gotten, is it going to get bigger? Are there going to be more people using Facebook? And if there's more people using Facebook, they've already got issues in terms of privacy. They got issues in terms of viruses and you know, Trojan horses infecting computers. Now, what am I going to do, man? I'm going to jump in on an initial public offering on a company that whose problems may not get much bigger, but whose potential and whose purpose in life. It can't get any bigger. Or maybe I'm wrong. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
I think you're wrong.
Yeah, well, why don't you go rub up against it then?
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and I want to thank people who have asked about, you know, hey, Phil, how's your sleep, man? Because I've got an insomnia thing. And I went through my entire history of insomnia before the show started here on Phil TV and HD. We do a pre-show.
Yeah, tell everybody. This is pretty funny.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny, huh? You like the part of...
Yeah, but when you were peeing in it...
All right, be quiet. I'll tell it. You don't have to tell it. God.
I can't believe, man, you did that.
Let me explain it, all right, if you don't mind.
Wait, you hear this. He gets out of bed.
But will you shut up for a minute? Let me explain it. So, thank you, folks, for your concern. Yeah, I have sleep issues. There are millions of Americans who do. It is not pleasant. We do what we can. We fight the good fight. We go to work. We're half out. We're half in the bag. People wonder why we drink coffee. Come on. You know, what else are we going to do? Take handfuls of speed? Believe me. If I could, I'd be doing just gram. I'm kidding.
You're going to say cocaine.
No, I was just joking. All right. Now, to answer the question of people, I have been to the doctor, and I'll probably take some mild sleep sedative just to kind of turn things around. The hours that we work here are very weird. We're working on the West Coast. We get off the air at 1 o'clock. Now, that sounds probably like enough time to have a normal life. Well, you know, 1 o'clock, a lot of people go to bed late. But you don't understand, when you're working, especially doing this kind of work until 1, you're not getting to bed till 4 o'clock. It's just no way.
No, I don't get to bed like 5 o'clock. Yeah, and we don't even do nothing.
Well, that's the truth. You don't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys don't get to bed till 5. What are you doing, playing video games?
Pretty much.
So, the hour's a little twisted, and my sleep has always been very strange ever since I was a little kid. I joked with somebody one day. I said, well, you know, if it hadn't been for my... And as a child, you don't think of it as being insomnia. As a kid, you're just... You wake up, and it's kind of cool, and the night looks dark and spooky, and you turn your radio on, and you get a book out, and you turn a flashlight on, and you're reading under the sheets, and you're doing a lot of kid stuff, and the next day, you don't feel it at all. I never felt it. I never... throughout my entire... childhood, throughout my entire teen years, throughout my entire 20s, really, I never felt fatigue during the day. But I've had a variety of sleep issues. One of them is sleep paralysis, which I talked about. I don't think we talked about it on the air, did we?
I don't think so, man. That's spooky.
Yeah, sleep paralysis, you don't want, man. You don't want that. That's when you wake up or you're in sort of a twilight state, but you can't move your body. And you're trying like a son of a gun to move your body, and just maybe your finger moves. It's really, it's hellish, man. And then you finally get everything moving, and you wake up, and you're breathing like you just ran a 100-yard dash. You just, you know, your heart's racing. So that's just nuts. And I got a whole line of things I could tell you about that. But Bud wants me to tell a story about the sleepwalking. Is that it?
Yeah, this is fantastic.
Yeah, uh-huh. In my 20s, and I've, by the way, just so you know, I've been able to conquer that sleep paralysis thing by way of diet. In fact, I haven't really, I used to be a pretty good drinker, never had a problem with it, but I used to hit the ball a long way on the weekends, as we say. And in the last 5 or 6 years, my drinking has gone way down, just for no other reason than I'm not interested. You know, just haven't really had the occasion to go out and get hammered. I haven't. It's just haven't been interested in it. I think we've thrown the tequila back here on a few nights, doing a you know tequila shots and stuff on Phil TV. But and we may do it at the Super Bowl too. But so that helped. The other thing that I found out the other night, I had a little bit of sleep paralysis, and I'd gone off my diet, and I'd you know what I'd started eating?
What?
I had some cheese, man.
So you're telling me you got some kind of a cheese allergy that makes you turn into a zombie? That's insane.
How do you know it's insane?
You're trying to tell me that on account of what you eat a piece of cheese, you're a zombie? That don't make no sense.
Did I say zombie? Where'd you get zombie?
Well, you're talking you zombied out.
I ain't zombied out. I said I got sleep paralysis.
Same difference.
Hey, bud, do you know anything about it?
Not really.
Well, then be quiet. Are you telling me that because you eat a piece of cheese, you're a zombie?
Well, that's what it sounds like to me, and that's what you're trying to get everybody out there to get scared about and scaring me. I'm afraid if I have myself a piece of sharp cheddar, I'm the walking dead. What are you laughing at?
If I have a piece of sharp cheddar, I'm the walking dead. I hate to break the news. You already are the walking dead. What do you think of that?
Shut up.
That's beautiful. Look, man, you don't even know what you're talking about. Sleep paralysis is not zombie, and it ain't the walking dead. You must be talking about something else, like narcolepsy.
You mean it exists?
No, it don't exist. Narcolepsy's really weird. You ever heard of that?
Uh-uh.
Narcolepsy is like if you get too emotional, you fall asleep. You ever heard of that?
I ain't never heard of that, no.
Yeah. Yeah. There's people who if... honest to God, there are people that if you're like sitting and all of a sudden some dudes bust into the house and they want to rob you, you'll fall asleep.
It'd be like you faint.
Well, it might have been... it has been mistaken for that, that the person faints. But in point of fact, they're falling asleep. Actually, if you think about it, it's pretty cool. You know, it kind of saves you from all the trauma of what's going on. But yeah, that's narcolepsy. It could be dangerous. But anyway, to give you the story of the sleepwalking thing, and I only did it in my 20s because I was really partying like a madman in those days. And all kinds of different things that you're putting into your body. And you're young, you're 20 or something, and you're going crazy. That was me. And so I'm, you know, running riot. And I notice on a couple of occasions I start walking in my sleep. One time when I was living in upstate New York, I was working at a radio station up there, I woke up in my apartment and I can't describe this any way other than to say I was trying to close these cabinet doors, but what I was actually doing was I was opening them up and trying to get them to overlap. I can't explain it any other way than that. You know, but and then another night I woke up outside. Now, I was rooming with a friend of mine. This is in California. And what woke me up was a door slamming behind me. I turn around, the door was slammed behind, and I'm outside. Thank God I was in my underwear, at least. And I immediately knew what I'd done. I was, oh, my, I walked in my sleep. I'm outside, man. And I went around to the front, and the good news was, thank God, I tried to get in through the door I just walked out of, but it locked behind me. So I went around to the front door, and the front, it was a summer evening, and so the front door was open to get air through the apartment. And there was a screen door that was latched, and I had to take the screen door and literally pulled a screw right out of the wood to get me into the house.
Otherwise, man, you'd be outside nude.
Yeah, they probably would have arrested you.
You gotta yell everything, bud. What is it with you?
I know.
Well, I was just trying to say.
Yeah, they probably would have arrested you. Hey, tell it. But you calm down, okay? God, man.
Well, what about your talking?
Would you have yourself a piece of sharp cheddar cheese, man? See if you turn into a zombie.
Chop, man. He got you on that one.
No, he didn't. Shut up.
All right, now hold on. I'm gonna tell you the story, right?
Yeah.
So the one Bud wants me to tell, this happened. It's embarrassing. It's also very common. It's very common. My father, this happened to my father. And it also happened to a friend of mine, my best friend, Big DJ, Big Don. I woke up one night, and this was when I was living, you know, I had a townhouse up here in the foothills above Los Angeles in Sierra Madre, and the famous little town of Sierra Madre where they filmed Invasion of the Body Snatchers in 1956. Anyway.
They did?
Yeah. Anyway, so I wake up. Now, get ready for this one. You're going to laugh your asses off, but it's true. I wake up urinating into the crisper in the refrigerator.
Oh, man. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I swear to God. I woke up, and of course, the first thing you think, you go, what the hell? What am I doing, man?
What'd you do?
Well, I mean, I stood there stunned, and like, I knew in my dream or in my sleep state, I needed to go to the bathroom. And so I guess, and I really believe that in my sleep state, I got up and I went to the logical place to go when you have to go. And in my dream state, it was the refrigerator.
Yeah, that's a logical place to go, where you cook.
That's funny. So anyway, needless to say, I spent the next 2.5, I think I spent the next 2 hours cleaning my refrigerator in the middle of the night.
Oh, man. Well, you said somebody else do that?
Oh, yeah. I found out after that. I told people about it, and I found out, that a couple of people, my mom told me, she woke up one night, and my father was peeing into a drawer in the bureau.
No.
Yeah. And then I got a friend of mine. He woke up. He was urinating into a pile of laundry, and his wife yelled at him to wake him up. She woke up, and she saw this. She's like, what are you doing? You know, which freaked him out, you know. And he was more upset with being he was more upset with being awakened while he was doing that than what he was doing. I don't know what that is. I don't know. It's sleepwalking, and your brain is scrambled, and you mistake the...
Yeah, what if you mistake some guy's head for a toilet?
Better not be my head, man.
That'd be fit. I don't know. That would, yeah, that's not a good idea.
You mistake a guy's head for a toilet, you better run.
Well, look, pal. Let's just say that I was very fortunate. So... That happened, but I noticed that it dropped off precipitously as I got out of my 20s. It didn't happen again. I've never had that experience since, and I don't know. It might be age. It might be changing the biochemistry of the body. It might have, but I know that the motor sensory aspect of our brains, right, that's what's getting jacked around. But since then I haven't had a lot of stuff. Once you get out of your 20s, man, a lot of stuff stops. I used to get tonsillitis. Bang. As soon as I hit 30, gone. Never got it again.
You still have your tonsils?
I still have my tonsils. And I have not gotten tonsillitis since. The sleepwalking thing, gone. And now I'm finding that this sleep paralysis thing, it's very funny, but since I've been on this diet Dr. All put me on, I haven't had that. And it only came back like 2 weeks ago when I... went off the diet because it was the holiday season, and you know what it is, man. I mean, you know, you're going to eat some things that maybe you shouldn't eat. I thought it would, maybe it was coffee. I thought it was a lot of stuff, but as it turns out, it wasn't any of that. It was the food that I was eating. Something about the food. I'm just telling you, if something is happening and then it changes as the result of something that you changed, you have to look at that and say, well, wait a second.
Yeah, but what are you talking about, man? Like cheese, you're talking about cheese making you, you know, lay there like a mummy.
But if I said anything about mummies or zombies, you're the cat that's talking about it, you know?
Yeah,
well, that's what you're saying.
I'm not saying I ate cheese and I laid there like a mummy. I said that something I ate brought back this sleep paralysis thing. And once I stopped eating it, it goes away. So that's a huge thing that I found out, man. That's like that's worth money, you know. When you get on just, man, if you just start eating good again, if you just start eating good again, if you start drinking water and just eat stuff that's good, man, just eat some vegetables and some fruit and some fish or meat and lay off of the rest of the crap, like the crap that you eat.
I don't eat no crap.
What was that box that you were eating there? What was that stuff?
Bugles.
Bugles?
Yeah, those... are you kidding me? Bugles is the best.
Bugles, man. I don't like Bugles at all. It tastes like a cereal.
What is Bugles, anyway?
It's like Corn Chex.
Yeah, it's Corn Chex with salt.
Whatever, man. It's crap. If you guys start eating some good stuff, then you wouldn't be ugly, bud. I'm joking. You're not ugly.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So there's an update on, what not to do in the refrigerator. I'm glad I was able to explain that because we've had an epidemic of it, I'm sure. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Bill Hendry Show.
Why not?
Because we're working tonight. That's why not.
But it looks really good.
He's going to start to cry.
Are you honestly going to start bawling because you can't go see Ghost Rider tonight, man? We're working tonight, Ace. You can go see it Sunday.
Yeah, but I want to see it tonight.
Then see it Sunday night. Tonight we're working. What a doofus.
Well.
Guy's all...
It's bitching, though. Have you seen it?
Whatever, man. It's another freaking 3D movie. You know, I'll catch it. Okay, I'll catch it in my own good time, in my own sweet way, all right? Hey, bud, you with the belching, man.
Yeah, but everybody else gets to do it.
Those are jackballs that I'll deal with. I don't want you doing it. GOP insiders rise up to cut Gingrich down to size. His final little story here this evening on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget tonight at 7 o'clock. We are live here on Phil TV in HD with our local Los Angeles show. Republican insiders are rising up to cut Newt Gingrich down to size, testament to the GOP establishment's fear that the mercurial candidate could lead the party to disaster in the fall. Get a load of this. The gathering criticisms are bitterly sharp, as if edged by a touch of panic, a remarkable development, considering the target once was Speaker of the House and will go down in history as leader of the Republicans' 1994 return to power in Congress. The intended, you know, there's a little, it's kind of a weird thing, because the Republicans' return to power in Congress was initiated in the Reagan years. In the Reagan years. Now, yes, they lost it, and then they gained it back. But I don't think that it's going to be Newt Gingrich going down in history as the guy that returned them to power. I think it's going to be Newt Gingrich that may go down in history as a guy who was able to help them resurge to the lead after they'd lost it. Due to the early 90s recession and other, you know, obviously other issues. The Republican establishment might not be wild about Mitt Romney, but they're terrified by Newt Gingrich, said Dan Schur, a former GOP campaign strategist who teaches politics at the University of Southern California. The anti-Gingrich statements have come from conservative columnists, talk show hosts, including Ann Coulter, former Reagan administration officials, and others. One of the harshest was written by former Senator Bob Dole, who was the 1996 presidential nominee. I have not been critical of Newt Gingrich, but it is now time to take a stand before it's too late, he wrote. If Gingrich is the nominee, it will have an adverse impact on Republican candidates running for county, state, and federal offices. As Speaker from 1995 to 1998, Gingrich, quote, had a new idea every minute, and most of them were off the wall, Dole wrote. He said he struggled against Democrats' TV attacks in his 1996 campaign, and in every one of them, Newt was in the ad. Gingrich has reacted unevenly to the accusations, sometimes denouncing them, other times wearing them like a badge of honor. He said, quote, at a Tea Party rally in Central Florida on Thursday, the Republican establishment is just as much an establishment as the Democratic establishment, and they're just as determined to stop us. Before we get too much into this story, it has to be said again, and it's not, you know...
They want to get elected.
Yes, you're absolutely right. The Republicans want to get elected. Now, the Republicans rightfully recognize something. As much as the Tea Party people want to believe that they are the majority voice in the country, they're not. They are a voice, and they're a powerful voice. They're a loud voice. There are significant numbers. But they do not make up the majority. Who really is the majority voter? Well, the majority voter, as we've come to find out in America, as much as we hate government gridlock, we tend to vote for gridlock. We vote for it because it means that the extreme elements are balanced. No one is taking too much control. And as crazy as that sounds, that's what we prefer over one extreme or the other, controlling things. The Tea Party people may not be extremist, neither may be progressives, but they are seen that way. And Republicans see the Tea Party people as the reason why they will lose. The reason why they'll lose the presidency. It's one thing to win a midterm. It's one thing to say, well, we've got all these seats and the Tea Party led us to victory here, 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 and here. But the Tea Party is exposed politically as well. They've had an awful lot of members who have turned around and made the Tea Party angry at. them. You know, I mean, this guy Brown in Massachusetts, a classic example of a guy that was the darling of the Tea Party. 5 minutes after this guy gets elected, all of a sudden he's a scumbag, right? So that's what they're saying there. They're saying they ain't going to win the presidency with a Newt Gingrich because he's just, nobody's going to, they're not going to vote for him in sufficient numbers to make him president. You can wish it, you can hope it, you can pray for it, but if it ain't there, it ain't there.
Yeah, but they're going to say that the Republicans should have supported him and he had the numbers.
You can't make people vote for something they don't want to vote for. World famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Phil Hendry and Dan Northcraft. Don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs. And we have our souvenir shop that is wide open over there. I would suggest very heartily that you head on over and pick up a souvenir for the one that you love. Maybe something for, oh, I don't know, for Valentine's Day. We'll see you guys tonight on our local show, philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.